Welcome everybody to this Feast of Trumpets for 2018 on the Roman calendar. The purpose of this sermon is to look at some of the main points that God has revealed about the Feast of Trumpets. Now this Feast of Trumpets is important, being the year 2018, because it's actually 10 years since we were given a truth, a new truth, the 50th truth. The title of this sermon is The Feast of Trumpets. If you'd like to be turning to Leviticus 23 and verse 23. Leviticus 23 verse 23. Then the Eternal spoke to Moses saying, "Speak to the children of Israel." This is something physical that we're reading, but we should, more importantly, look at this on a spiritual level, because this truth, this understanding that we have, is all about spiritual matters. Although we keep a physical day, the Feast of Trumpets, we actually understand it's actually spiritual in nature. It's about the changing or the transformation of our minds. So we should look at this on a spiritual level. Verse 24, when it says, "Speak to the children of Israel," we understand that it's referring to us, the children of Israel, spiritual Israel. In the seventh month, which is what we are in, the seventh month. Now there's two calendars that are used by God. One of them that points to the sacred calendar, which we understand and we follow, which has all the holy days in it, all the times or appointed times of God that are in it. But there's also another one which is called the secular calendar, and it runs parallel to it, but it doesn't have exactly the same. For example, the seventh month on the sacred calendar is actually the first month on the secular calendar. And we don't need to understand a lot of that, but it's important in this sermon because we're going to cover aspects of this about Jubilee and what it really means about Jubilee and release. So here we have God speaking through Moses, saying that in this seventh month, which is what we're entering now, a feast season. Because really, trumpets is an announcement about we're entering a feast season. Because now we have the fourth annual holy day, Trumpets, the Feast of Trumpets. Then we have Atonement. Then we have the first day of the feast. And then we have the last great day. They're all high days, holy gatherings, appointed times that we should keep. Well, here we have this blowing of trumpets. This is the beginning. This is the seventh month. This is the beginning of this feast season which we're about to enter. On the first of the month, so it's the first day of the seventh month, you shall have a Sabbath or a rest, a memorial, a remembering of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. If we look at today's society, there are many memorials. In Australia, we have what's called an Anzac, which is on a particular day, an Anzac memorial. And you see them, they're around everywhere. I remember driving on a particular road and all of a sudden out in the middle of nowhere, there's a monument, so to speak, with names on it, plaques on it for those that fought in the war. And that's a memorial. Well, what is it? So you drive along, you see this, and you remember something. You remember because you see the memorial. Well, here, this is something spiritual that we should remember, because this is about a rest and a memorial or a remembering of blowing of trumpets. So here, the children of Israel, on a physical level, we're being told, you are to remember something. And now we, on a spiritual level, should remember something. Now, there has been something quite incredible in this particular time, our time, a memorial, a remembering, and we should remember this particular announcement. You know what I'm talking about, it's the 50th truth. It was given on the Feast of Trumpets, officially, given on that day, for a reason. That was in 2008. Well, 10 years later, here we are. So we remember, and we're going to look at that, we remember the 50th truth and what it really did. So this announcement, this blowing of trumpets, well, this is about remembering events, remembering announcements. You shall do no customary work on it, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Eternal. We can see from this command that we are to remember, because it's a memorial, the blowing of trumpets. And we understand it's not about one trumpet, it's about sounds. Now, when you go through the Bible, there are different instruments used. There's different types of trumpets. We're not going to go into that today, but we understand from Numbers that there were particular trumpets made, and then there's the shofar. But that's all about sounds, and sounds point to announcements. Now, this is not about one trumpet. Now, we know, and we have covered previously, that the Ten Commandments were given. They were given on a Pentecost, but it was given with a sound because it's an announcement. And trumpets are about announcing things. We know that God gave physical Israel the understanding of how to use the sound of trumpets for different events. Now, this is key to understanding the Feast of Trumpets. I'm not going to turn to Numbers 10. We have covered it before, and others have covered this particular scripture and the scriptures relating to the sounds of trumpets in Numbers 10. I'm going to refer to it only. The first one is a call for assembly. So these sounds that were given to Israel were about for direction, to head in a particular direction, and you heard a particular sound and you did something. And it wasn't about your own understanding about it. There was clear instructions about this sound, what it was, how many times it blasted and how long, and therefore there was a reaction required. Well, we understand that this is the same on a spiritual level. When the 50th truth was given, there was a sound to the spiritual children of Israel, and they were now to change directions, which I think is just beautiful, really. It's a change of direction, because previously we understood and we believed that Christ would return with 144,000 on a Feast of Trumpets. We understand that's not true. But on this particular feast of 2008, a sound came out. It was called the 50th truth. And now a direction was given, which is about Christ returning with 144,000 on a Pentecost. Now, some changed direction. Some listened, heard the sound. We could go into a lot of that about hearing sound. The hearing of the sound is a spiritual matter. Therefore, if somebody has God's Holy Spirit and is in tune and in unity with God, believes this is God's true church, when the sound came, the 50th truth came, a direction was reasonably easy to follow because this is new, this is God's church, this is God's apostle, this is the truth, change direction, hear the sound. Others didn't follow the sound. They just didn't follow the sound. Therefore, they're no longer with us. Another use of a trumpet was the sound of alarm, I war, or to war. So they would be in a camp and they'd hear a particular sound and they knew that war, therefore the men would get together and it got organised because you had to go to battle. Well, we hear sounds all the time with regards to announcements about us, and we're in war. We're the only ones in this world that are actually in war. We're the only ones with God's Holy Spirit that are battling the mind. The three desires that we have, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. These desires that are in us, naturally, we should be warring against them, fighting against them. And therefore, we often hear the sound to go to war, you know, to be ready. We're supposed to be on guard all the time, be ready all the time, because we are at war with ourselves. Not with anybody else, we're at war with ourselves. Nobody out there knows it. Nobody understands it, that on an average day, God's people walk around warring with themselves, the battle in the mind. And we're engaging against selfishness. Well, we're at war, and it's a constant thing. There's another one which was about a time of rejoicing, and that was in relation to when a new king, you know, we understand also, when Christ returns as King of Kings, appointed by God, God is King of Kings, given this position, given this authority, King of Kings over the earth, well, we understand it's at a sound of a trumpet blast, the seventh trump. It's an announcement. We know that announcement has already happened. Now the event has to happen. But just because it's an announcement of that particular event, there are many other times when it is used. For example, praise, thanksgiving. Now, if you drop down to verse 10, those that have already turned there, maybe if they had wanted to, if it's a pre-recording, you may. But in Numbers 10, verse 10, it says basically, I'm going to summarize, in your appointed feasts. So the trumpet, there was a sound on a feast day, appointed feast, beginning of months, over an offering, sacrifices and peace offerings. So we understand there are many times when God has used trumpets to announce an event. And that example we've referred to is about the Ten Commandments. Trumpets are about announcements, about announcing things. Now, if you look at the calendar, The Roman calendar, which is in use in today's world, really has little to do with God's calendar. We understand that the months are pointed to their gods, so to speak, and given names that relate to their belief system, or it goes back to older times. But it's a calendar that has 30 days and 31 days, and there's a rhyme that you can go over to remember those, to remember how many days are in a month. Well, God's calendar isn't like that. God's calendar is different. God's calendar has 12 months, and then over a 19-year time cycle, there are seven times when a 13th month is put in. Well, for man trying to understand that on a human level, they find it much easier and have leap years and have less days in a month of the second month that they have. So it's just completely different. It isn't God's calendar. Well, God's calendar is different. It's about crops, about, you know, harvesting, which is really pointing to mankind. There's harvests that take place. Well, we understand that there are many times when trumpets are used, and God uses a different calendar. And here we are, at this particular time, on the first day of the seventh month in God's sacred calendar. God's sacred calendar. Nobody knows about it except God's people, as far as the spiritual matter or the spiritual intent of it. Now, on the Feast of Trumpets, the 50th truth was given on the Feast of Trumpets of 2008, but was due on that time, but because God's people, not all, some were not ready for it. And when it was given in June and that period of time, that God, in his mercy, gave us that truth, the meaning of that truth, the 50th truth, because we weren't ready to receive it. Because why? When you look at it, it's a spiritual matter. A sound is going to be sounded. The information was given, not all of it, but leading to something. There was going to be a change. Well, there's a change of direction. Well, people didn't cope. We didn't cope as people. But God gave it before then due to our spiritual condition. God had mercy on his called out ones and gave the 50th truth in late June of 2008 because of us. Well, we have lived this, so it's a beautiful thing. Now, this day of 2008, when the 50th truth was given, will stand for the next 1,000 years, the next 100 years. It's so important. We lived it, and sometimes we don't appreciate as much as we should what God did for us in this. Well, now it's 10 years since the date of Trumpets 2008, now Trumpets of 2018. The 50th truth was an announcement from God for his true church. Now, when we stop and look, we think, well, there was no sound. There's no noise that everybody in the world or anyone in the church said, oh, there's a sound. I heard it. I heard the trumpet blast. Did you hear the trumpet blast? There's no sound because this is spiritual in design. This new truth, the 50th truth, released us from error, released our thinking, because it's an incredible thing. It opened up the meaning of Pentecost so much more. And so much more since that time has been given by God to us that we understand about wave sheaf, wave lows, timing of things, about Christ's return. It's just incredible. Beautiful picture that is there. Well, this 50 points to Jubilee, as we know, about release. So the 50th truth released us from a bondage that we had of error, because error is bondage. We were in error. Well, God gave it to separate his church, his called out ones, from other scattered churches, churches of God that were there. So since the apostasy has been this massive scattering, well, now we have this definition because we believe something different. And God gave this on or in 2008. Beautiful picture. Trumpets of 2008. In the future, this announcement of the 50th truth will have people in awe of what God did. Not what we did, because there was some didn't respond to God's announcement. No different than when the Ten Commandments were given. Some responded better than others, and others got, you know, led away and decided to build a golden calf because they just got impatient. Well, when people look back and say, wow, you were there when the 50th truth was given, and we will be able to say, yep, I heard it. I knew it was incredible from my past beliefs. Some may not have, if they've come in after that time, may not have understood what was really going on and what we used to believe. Now, we lived it, but we may not really appreciate what God did for his people in setting them free from error. Because this is just like everything in life. It's you just get used to it and it's, you don't even think back about that time. I think back when I see certain things and I remember some of my beliefs, that what I used to believe, and how much God has required me to change and how much I have to change and how much I have changed. There's a lot that I've changed, a lot to change still. But I do understand things that I used to believe, and a lot of it was just physical things. That's what I was taught. That's what I was given to believe. Well, that's what I have to do. I have to follow God's church, God's instruction. Well, here's an instruction. Here's an announcement. It's called the 50th truth that was given, basically, it was meant to be given on trumpets. Well, the official part was given on trumpets of 2008. The 50th truth. I'm going to read aspects of this. Now, the 50th truth that's on the church website is rather detailed, and it covers a lot of the meaning of the 50th truth and what it's really all about. And I would encourage everybody to go back over the 50th truth, meditate on it, and think about it, because it has been given, but more and more understanding is now coming from this one truth, and it is worth reading. I'm not going to read it all because it would take a sermon in itself, but I'm just covering this because it was the fact that a 50th truth, and it released the church, and it was given officially, formally, on the Feast of Trumpets of 2008. Well, we're now 10 years down the path, and time has gone reasonably quickly when I look back, reasonably quickly. The 50th truth concerns the revelation given by God of the actual timing that leads up to the return of Joshua the Christ. The Church of God has long believed that Christ would return as King of Kings on the Feast of Trumpets. This is not true. We understand it's about Pentecost. It's about Pentecost, that day. It's about wave sheaf and then the wave loaves. It's a beautiful picture when we understand what God is doing, because it is about harvesting and it is about announcements. This is an announcement now about things. And if we just look, cutting in here, if we look at this particular feast day, Feast of Trumpets, it's the fourth annual holy day. Well, outside that, what does it do? It announces things. What is it announcing? And we can look at all different announcements. We know it points to other holy days. It announces there's another holy day coming on the 10th of the 7th. It's called the Day of Atonement. What's that about? Well, we understand it's about the removal of the deceiver, the removal of Satan from this world. What a great announcement. How exciting is that to meditate on and to think about? That's a truth. Then you go to the next one, the Feast of Tabernacles. What are we doing? Trumpets announces we're entering this season of release, of freedom. Because Satan's removal is a release, it's a freedom. The Feast of Tabernacles that we're going to keep soon on the or in the seventh month, again, it's a release. The 15th day of the seventh month, it's another release that's going to happen. Mankind's going to be given freedom. This is all pointing to things. Then, of course, the last great day, 100-year period, another annual holy day. So Trumpets announces we're in this season, the seventh month, the seventh month. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing to understand God's plan from where it starts. The first day of the first month, it's not an annual holy day, but it's the beginning of months. Then on the 14th day of the first month is Passover. They're just incredible things that we have, that we've been given, mankind doesn't understand at this point in time. Continuing on reading from the 50th truth. God has reserved this revelation about Christ returning on a Pentecost, not trumpets. He's reserved this for this time because it sets us free. It sets us, it makes us separate. For this very end time to be revealed just prior to the actual date that serves as an announcement for the coming of his Son to reign over all the earth. God could have revealed this truth at any time, and it has always been solely in his own power and prerogative to do so whenever he chose. Now, this is an important point that sometimes we can go, oh, yes, that's, But there's much more to this, because this is about the revelation of truth. When you go back about what Sardis had with three truths, and then God revealed more truth to Mr. Armstrong, well, a lot of those truths that had been lost, well, God could have raised up somebody at a different time to reveal truth. But there's a plan, and it's a great plan, all about salvation, that truth is given for a reason. It's just not willy-nilly. God knows when to give truth, and there's a spiritual purpose behind revealing truth. This truth now separates us from the other churches of God. They are still operating on a physical level, because they were cut off, spewed out of God's mouth. It's all physical. We, as the Church of God, where God is working, the only physical organization is the Church of God, PKG, one of the truths, that where God is working, and God works through the power of His Holy Spirit, through a structure that He established. Well, we are spiritual Israel, the Church of God, spiritually. This truth about Christ returning on a Pentecost separates us completely. Well, that happened in 2008. God has given the church most of the understanding concerning the meaning of the Feast of Trumpets, but not all, because there was a lot more to it. That's why I encourage everybody to go through the 50th truth and read it and meditate on it and pray about it, because there's a lot of detail in there, a lot of information that is very valuable to us to understand what God is doing, because it's His truth. He is transforming our mind. Therefore, the way to do it is through the power of His Holy Spirit, through truth. The Feast of Trumpets has long been understood to be plural, blowing of trumpets, not just one trumpet, and not the blowing of a single trumpet, all of which announce, so this is about announcements, and work to lead closer to the fulfillment of Christ's return as King of Kings. God has reserved the Feast of Trumpets 2008 to be the day that is the time for the official announcement. We talked about God in His mercy gave it to us early because of our spiritual condition, because what damage it could have done to God's church. So that's a great act of mercy. So this is the official announcement to His people. Nobody else heard it. We heard this sound. We heard this announcement. Others didn't. Some did and left. And others in scattered groups may have heard aspects of this and just mocked it, just saying, well, there they go, they're off on a tangent. But we understand, because we have God's Spirit, this is a spiritual matter, and this is leading us, just like when you look at numbers, there's a sound, and now you have to take action. There's an action required. You have to go somewhere. You have to do something different. Well, this is about something in the mind. We have to go somewhere different in the mind. And ever since we've made that choice to follow God, to follow the announcements that God has given, more and more and more has been given to us about the Feast of Pentecost. And we understand now more about trumpets, trumpets and announcements. For the official announcement of His people, God's people, that the long-awaited final countdown of Joshua the Christ coming is now at hand. This is the date, trumpets of 2008, that announces the final stage in which God will determine who will be among the final ones chosen to be sealed. Well, that's something we didn't know on the release, the information, the announcement. We were more focused on a change from trumpets of Christ's return to now Pentecost. But this about sealing and final sealing, we knew counts. We had an understanding of there was about a count. It's about the 144,000 and sealing. We knew that, as Mr. Wineland has said. Well, now we have even a greater understanding now about this very matter, because it is about 1335, it is about 1290, and it is about 1260, which is about trumpets. Because in December of 2008, there were the blast of a trumpet, the first trumpet blast. The event is yet to take place, but the sound has happened, the announcement has happened, it's coming, we've just got to wait for it. The complete sealing of all 144,000 will then have been accomplished once the catastrophic events from the blowing of the first four trumpets takes place. Now, this is something we look forward to, because we understand, the world doesn't, but we understand, we've been given information by God that there is a continuation of a sealing to take place, and that four angels that have the first four trumpets have been told, wait, Don't do any harm yet until the sealing is complete. So we're waiting, and we will wait as long as it takes, because we're in God's hands and this is God's church. So whatever it takes is whatever it takes. So we look forward to this final sealing being completed and the sound or the event of the very first trumpet. We really do. We look forward to it. The blowing of the first trumpet on the 14th of December 2008, with six more to follow, all of which will lead up to the actual events that conclude the complete fulfillment, because that's what we're waiting for. We're waiting for the fulfillment of the blast of the trumpets. Now, humanly, we tend to think, well, yep, let's get on with it. But that's because we don't understand how terrible it actually is going to be. But we want, on another level, spiritually, we want it to take place because we know this is the best thing that could happen. It's the best thing because we're going to lead to the removal of Satan and we're going to lead to a new world government. So that's why we want it. We don't want it for selfish reasons. We want it over and done with because of the suffering of mankind, because of what they're going through. So we're looking for the complete fulfillment and then the final blowing of the seventh trump on the very day Christ begins his return as King of Kings. The Feast of Trumpets 2008 was the day for the announcement of the last stage for choosing those who are to be in the final sealing for all who will be in the count of 144,000, who will come with Christ to set up the reign of the kingdom of God on this earth. And I'll end the reading there. Well, there's much more to that and a lot more thought could be given to what has been given there. We can now see more clearly with regards to God's use of Joshua, the name Joshua. If you look at Joshua, Moses with Joshua, what Moses did and then what Joshua did at the death of Moses, how he led the physical children of Israel, well, there are parallels to that with regards to the promised land and what God will do through Joshua the Christ leading the 144,000 to a spiritual promised land, because we understand Christ is the head of the church and he leads the church. Well, all power and authority has been given over by God to Christ to fulfill certain things. Well, we look for this completeness to take place. And we understand the meaning of the number seven is completeness. Joshua 6. Joshua 6, verse 1. There are parallels. We don't have all the understanding of this, but we do know there is physical events that took place, which we're going to look at, but there's also spiritual ramifications to these things. And it is to do with God and what God does, because this didn't all just happen. When you look at what actually took place here with Joshua and the children of Israel, it's not God just playing games. This is something physical that's pointing to something spiritual that God is going to achieve. And he's going to achieve it through Christ. We're going to look now at the destruction of Jericho, which is symbolic about the destruction of Satan's system of government. So as the walls of Jericho fall down flat, we see that man's government, Babylon, Babylon is fallen, Babylon is fallen. There's a parallel. One is physical, one is spiritual, but it's talking about destruction, but also release, a freedom that's given. Joshua 6 verse 1. Joshua 6 verse 1. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went in and none went out, basically. It's human fear. Well, we stop and consider that. Why would this be? Well, it's no different than us. If we knew there was a group of 1,000, 2,000 people armed that were coming to our house and they're heading in our direction, what would we do? Open the front door? The whole family, you would close the door, you'd lock yourself up and you'd probably peek out the curtain just to keep a watch on what's going on so you were ready for them. Well, this is the same. All the people of Jericho had heard about Israel and what Israel's God had done. When you look at what they would know, they'd know that Pharaoh and his army had been destroyed. They would have heard of all these incredible stories, and human nature, the stories would have all been magnified and pushed out further, and you know all the weird things that they would have been talking about. But deep down, there's a human fear. They know these people are coming this way, we best lock ourselves up and don't move. We'll just watch them. And the Eternal said to Joshua, see, I have given. I think this is rather incredible, really, because God now is speaking as if it has already happened, because nothing can stand against God's will and purpose. So God says, see, I have given. It's already, it's done, because it's God's will and purpose. It's done. You don't have to worry. It's going to happen. I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. So no one can resist this. Now, you could look at this on a spiritual level where this system is going to be gotten rid of, and the world, there's going to be a new world government, and it's through the hand of Joshua, the Christ, and its king of Jericho, the king of Babylon, Satan, is going to be gotten rid of, out of, you know, as far as not destroyed, but put aside, get out of the way. Well, its king can be physical here. Well, we know the king of Babylon's going to be put aside, going to be gotten rid of. It's been already been done. It's been determined. I'm going to give it over to you. So you don't have to worry. This is going to happen. The removal of Satan is going to happen. That's what God's saying here. The king in your hands. You just got to follow some instructions. Verse 3. You shall march around the city, all the men of war. Well, you say that's physical. Yes, you can see these men of war that are armed. Well, who are the men or the children of God that are at war? We're at war. We're the men of war, men and women, but we're at war. Here, nobody sees it. We have an armour. We are armed. Power of God's Holy Spirit. Put on the armour of God. We put on truth. So we're ready for battle. Well, this is physical. We're spiritually. We're involved in this. God's people are involved in this, because God is going to have a family. We're part of the church of God. We're part of God's children. We are men and women of war, because we battle. You shall go around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. Now this, of course, we can say, what would be the physical purpose of this? Now, if you just place yourself in Jericho and you're up on the wall watching all of these people, and they now pack up in an order, which we'll get to. Verse 4. The 7 priests, which points really that God's in authority. This is God, you know, God is doing it. This is a complete action of God. Shall bear the 7 trumpets. We understand 7 means complete. The ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets, which we understand is like the 7 last plagues of the day of the Lord. Well, if you just look at this from the physical level, here you are, you're in Jericho, you're looking out, there's all these people, and they're going around in this particular order. There's the armed men that go out, then there's the priest carrying the ark. You think, well, and they walk around the city. You'd be on alert. You'd be watching as they go around the city, which would have taken a reasonable amount of time. You walk around it, everybody. And there's just not one or two of them, there's a lot of people. And they pack up, and the children and everyone is at the back behind that. So they walk around, then they all go back to camp. The next day they get up and they do it again. Well, by the 7th day, you can imagine the people of Jericho, that what is going on? What is going on? I'm sure a lot of the children of Israel said, what is going on? Why are we marching around this city? And then on the 7th day you do it 7 times. Well, the time they went around on the 7th day, the 6th time, the people in Jericho began, they're really, something wrong. It's really weird, because they don't have the understanding this is God, and that God is doing something physical here for a spiritual matter, something that's going to be in the future. They had no understanding. And the people there wouldn't have understood, as far as the children of Israel and the priests, and wouldn't have understanding that we have. Verse 5, then it shall come to pass when they, the priests, make a long blast with the ram's horn, which is a trumpet, and you shall hear, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, and all the people shall shout a great shout, then the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him. Now this points to what God will achieve. This is going to happen. It's happened here. We've got the history of it. We understand it's in God's word. But this is what's going to happen in the future. The system's going to be brought down. This trumpet is used in a Jubilee year as well. There's a trumpet that's used. Now, there's different types. We understand there's tin ones and there's the shofar. Well, there's different sounds that are given, which is the most important thing. There's different sounds that have different meanings. We're going to look at one here. If you'd like to hold your place. Hold your place in Joshua 6 and turn to Leviticus 25. Joshua 6 verse 5 I want you to hold. And we're going to go to Leviticus 25 verse 1. God through Christ will provide a rest for mankind and a rest for this earth. Because this earth is suffering under the weight of Satan. But it's also suffering under the weight of mankind because of what they are doing with their selfishness. You know, they're reaping and plundering the earth. They're destroying the earth with their behaviours and the chemicals and everything. And this is God's creation. It's a beautiful creation. It was created for mankind, to a benefit of mankind. Well, mankind's just reaping it and destroying it. Well, God is saying here that it's His part of His creation. And God knows what is best for His creation. Leviticus 25, verse 1. This is about a seventh year rest. The Lord spoke to Moses at Mount Sinai, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I give you, because God did it, because there were a people there. They didn't know God, but there were a people there. But God decided that this is where He would place His people. And He would set up a system of government for them to their benefit. They didn't see that. Then the land shall keep a Sabbath rest to the eternal. There's lots of ways to look at this. We understand there's 6,000 years of man's self-rule, and then there's the 1,000-year rest from Satan's way, man's self-rule. You get a 1,000, you get a millennium. Well, this is 7 days, 6 days. Well, on the seventh day, there's a rest. Well, 6 years, then on the seventh year, there is a rest for the land. 6 years, you shall sow your field, which you work on it. 6 years, you shall sow your field, and 6 years you shall prune your vineyard and gather its fruit, which means you're allowed to harvest it. You plant it, you reap it, you plow it, you harvest it. But in the seventh year, there shall be a Sabbath or a rest of solemn rest for the land, because the land needs a rest because of what mankind can do to it. And it gets a chance to rejuvenate, just like we do spiritually on a Sabbath and just like physically should be happening. You shall neither sow your field nor prune your vineyard. Now, to do this means we would have to trust in God and believe God. It's no different than God's people now. 6 days you can work, but on the seventh you're to rest. Talking about days. Well, to do that, you have to trust in God, because everybody in the world works on the seventh day, the Sabbath rest. They don't rest, they work. 30% of most businesses have that much income coming in on that day, Friday night, Saturday. Well, it takes faith in God that God will look after us. So we rest as God commands. Well, we don't work. We don't generate an income on that day. We rest, we stop. Well, that takes faith. It takes a demonstration before God that we trust God and we have faith. We believe what He said about this. This is the best thing for us. Same for the land. It's going to take faith. Going to have to believe God. Going to have to stop and not harvest it. Now, to look out over it on that seventh year and see everything growing of itself, I'm sure there's going to be urges in mankind because of our selfishness that we would turn around and say, oh, you know, I desire to get out there and, you know, fix that up. And no, you've got to just leave it to itself. So in this seventh year, what grows of its own accord of your old harvest, you know, of your harvest, what you did before, so just leave it rest for 1 year, it grows of itself, just like weeds grow, just like, you know, crops grow, because of all the seed when the harvest, some fell on the ground, well, that all grows of itself. Grapes will continue to grow. They're not out there getting them ready to be harvested and pruned and all that. Just leave it, grows of itself. Well, you were allowed to consume of that, not harvest it. We don't have to go and try and have a big harvest. No, it was a day-by-day thing, week-by-week thing. But the Sabbath produce of the land, this is verse 6, but the Sabbath produce of the land during the seventh year shall be food for you, for you, your male and your female servants, for your hired servants, so this is talking about for everybody basically, verse 7, for your livestock and the beasts of your land, all its produce shall be food, because it's for them, it's for their benefit. Now we're going to cover a jubilee year. And you shall count seven Sabbaths. Now this is very similar to the count we have on a spiritual level to come to a holy day. From the Sabbath within the days of unleavened bread, we count 50. Well, this is very similar. You shall count seven Sabbaths of years for yourself. When seven times 7 years, 49, shall be time of seven Sabbaths of years, shall be to you 49 years, like we count Pentecost. They are counting now from the Feast of Trumpets, because this is now secular. This is different than God's sacred calendar. This is now secular. They count from the Feast of Trumpets to the next Feast of Trumpets. So it's a trumpet count. So the calendar runs from new moon to new moon. We understand that. The secular calendar is different in the sense that it does run from new moon to new moon, but it's different from the point of what takes place. One is a physical thing. The other one is God's plan of salvation, spiritual. Well, on this Feast of Trumpets, they then are aware they're getting ready for a jubilee. Then, 10 days later, in the 50th year, because remember, the secular calendar year goes from trumpets to trumpets. Well, 10 days later, you get to what? You get to the Day of Atonement. You shall cause the trumpet of the jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement. You shall make a trumpet to sound throughout your land. Now this is about release and freedom on the Day of Atonement. What does the Day of Atonement point to spiritually? Well, it points to the removal of Satan. No longer the deception is going to be there. Well, this is about a physical release, a release from debt. Now what actually happened in that year, once they blew the trumpet in the 50th year on the Day of Atonement, it's a year of release from financial matters. So financial burdens. It's an inheritances were returned to families and much more. You can read a lot about what the rules are around that. But what it did was, it's about governing things, because mankind in his selfishness and greed will do all types of things. Well, when you look at what Israel were required to do, it is the best interest of everyone, because God allocated land for a family, for a generation, for a heritage, for an inheritance. And things went wrong halfway through it or near the end of it, whatever, and they found they had to either lease it out or, you know, give it to somebody else to use. Well, that person works both ways. That person knew there was only 10 years left to the announcement of Jubilee, the year of release. So they would think, well, there's 10 years worth of crops in this land, therefore I'm only going to pay this much money. You wouldn't go and pay 50 years worth, because you knew that it's all going back to the people who own it. So therefore, it governed people's thinkings a lot. Well, this is a great system, because it went back and people could start again. Generations could start again. Because one person in a generation may make unwise decisions, but then the children get back their inheritance, then they can make wise decisions, and they may never go into having that debt. But this release happened based on an announcement, the blowing of a trumpet, the sound of a trumpet, on the Day of Atonement. Verse 10, and you shall consecrate the 50th year, which is a jubilee, which is like a 50th truth. I always put them all together. It's releasing. It's giving a freedom. And proclaim liberty throughout all the land to its inhabitants, like the freedom of the day of Pentecost when Christ stands on the Mount of Olives with 144,000. It shall be a jubilee for you, and each of you shall return to his possession, and each of you shall return to his family. Well, isn't this wonderful? It's just pointing to something. This is all physical, but it's pointing to something spiritual. Verse 11, the 50th year shall be a jubilee to you. Well, we look to a release. We look to a release. Well, trumpets announces things. Trumpets announces there's a release coming. There's a release coming, and it's coming in Pentecost, or on a Pentecost, we believe, in 2019. That's what we have as the present truth. We now look forward to that. We want freedom. We want to be released. Well, it's going to happen on a Pentecost. Well, trumpets is announcing this. The 50th truth announces there's a freedom coming. Back to Joshua 6, verse 6. Joshua 6, verse 6. Then Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant and let seven priests bear seven trumpets. We understand these trumpets. We understand the trumpets that we are waiting to see the effects of. Because there's parallels in all of this. Some we understand, some we don't fully understand. Of ram's horns, which was different than the silver trumpets in Numbers. Before or in front of the Ark of the Lord. Verse 7, and he said to the people, proceed and march around the city, and let him who is armed advance before the Ark of the Lord. So it was, when Joshua had spoken to the people, had the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Eternal advance and blew the trumpets, and the Ark of the Covenant of the Eternal followed them. So you can see this procession. You see the armed men, the priests with the Ark, and or the priests in front of the Ark with the trumpets, the seven of them, then the people. So you can see this, and the people in Jericho would have been looking out, looking at this, and they see these armed men, which would be terrifying in itself. Then you see seven priests with trumpets. Then you see the Ark being carried. It was a special way the Ark had to be carried. Then there was the people behind it, and they walk around the city, then they all stop. It would have been rather a lot of discussion going on about, well, what's this all about? Well, they didn't know, and nor did the people doing this, they didn't know either. No, it was really about. They're just following instructions from God, who was looking to a future. Then Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout. So there's no shouting during this period. There's no yelling out or rejoicing. It's to stay dead quiet. Or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed from your mouth. So they had to be quiet this whole time, no discussion. Now there would have been a temptation to talk to each other, thinking what's going on and talking. That would have been a desire. But here, they know this instruction and they know the consequences of sin, and they've been through a lot of it over 40 years in the wilderness, they know. Until the day that I say, shout, then you shall shout. We understand that there is a shout that announces the return of Christ to this earth. So hold your place again in Joshua 6, verse 15. Because we're going to jump down to verse 15. Joshua 6, verse 15, hold your place. We're going to turn to 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 15. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 15. We know this scripture well. Something we look forward to. Something we look forward to in the future. Now, the Feast of Trumpets that we're here in 2018 is all about announcements. It's about trumpets, it's about announcements. So we look forward to more announcements, more truth being revealed. We've had all different types of things happen to us in the body of Christ since the church was re-established in 1998. We've had a lot of announcements. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 15. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, which is referring to Christ, that we who are alive and remain alive at that time until the coming of the Lord, which is on a Pentecost, will by no means precede, won't go before, those who are asleep, the dead in Christ. We understand this, if we meditate on and think about it, it's really talking about wave sheaf versus wave loaves. So there's different timing involved. We understand a day of the Lord as 50 days. Now we have that understanding, which has all been given to us. They are all virtually announcements about things. Now we have this, there was no sound on a physical level that you could hear. But you could hear spiritually. And if we could hear spiritually, we'd respond in a way. Sound, respond, do something. For the Lord himself, Joshua the Messiah, will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. We look forward to this. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, talking about Christ. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Now this is those that are part of the 144,000 will be considered faithful servants, and they'll be changed to spirit. Changed to spirit, never to be able to sin again. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. We can comfort each other. We know this is going to happen. We know this is going to happen. Therefore, we can be more relaxed in life because this is coming, like God said previously. I have given you this. This is what I'm going to do. Well, God's going to send Christ back to this earth. And the 144,000 will be resurrected, and Christ will stand on the Mount of Olives. He will put his foot on the Mount of Olives, and Satan will be removed. We can rejoice in this. Back to Joshua 6. We're going to go back to Joshua 6, verse 15. But it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early, about the dawning of the day, and marched around the city seven times in the same manner. On the day that they marched around the city seven times. Now, we understand this would have taken time. So you get up on the seventh day and you walk around once and you walk around twice. There's no noise going on, just trumpets, but no shouting, just walking around. Well, this is a time that's pointing to something because God's not just playing games with the children of Israel or with Jericho. This has great spiritual meaning. Verse 16. And the seventh time it happened, when the priest blew the trumpet, that Joshua said to the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city," which is all credit is going to God, Yahweh Elohim, the one true God. That's where all the credit goes to, because he is the one that's doing this. It's not the people, it's not the armed men, it's not the priests with the trumpets. The trumpets don't do anything. They're just trumpets, and they make a sound. But that doesn't, what does that mean? Well, they don't do anything. But here, God is doing it. It says, shout. Well, what's the shouting? It's about, for God has given you the city. All credit goes to God for everything. All credit with regards to truth goes to God. All credit for our calling goes to God. All credit goes to God. The power of God's Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit. It's separate. It's different. It's transforming the mind. We don't do it. God does it. If we're left to ourselves, we'll destroy ourselves. Because without God, what have we got? Nothing. Now, God is the only one that can give spirit life to mortals. God can do it. Well, here we're seeing something happen that only God can do it. And they're following the instructions, which is exactly what we need to do. Follow the instructions. Follow the directions. Because I would think the natural carnal-minded people that when Joshua says you're to follow behind, you know, with and walk behind, and you walk around once, and by the fifth time you'd be thinking, boy. But be quiet and follow the instructions. It's good advice for all of us, including myself here. Verse 20. So the people shouted with the priests. And when the priest blew the trumpet, so the sound of the trumpets, they're following the instructions, the trumpets sound, now Joshua says, shout, and the people shout. And it happened, when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, then the wall fell down flat. Isn't that a beautiful thing? The wall falls down, it goes boom, falls down. The incredible part of that, not only that, is that God was to save one person and their family because of an act of faith, because she believed. Isn't it incredible? So God can do these things, so we shouldn't worry about anything, about what's happening when things go off. Nuclear bombs can go off, and if God wanted to protect one person, the radiation, that wouldn't affect them, because that's what, here's a demonstration what God can do. God can do it. Then the people went up to the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep and donkey, with the edge of the sword. We understand what this is about. This is about sin, the destruction of sin. And mankind can't understand it, why God's people would destroy other people. But really, this is about destroy everything because it's polluted. So we can learn from this instruction within our own minds. Destroy everything within our own minds that is polluted. Our minds are polluted. They are riddled with sin. This points now, this destruction, the fall of the walls of Jericho, This points to the destruction of Babylonian system that Satan has set up for mankind. Satan's system of deception and confusion will be destroyed. It was going to fall. Now we return or turn to the event that impacted physical Israel. And we can learn from this because it involves the Feast of Trumpets. Nehemiah 8 verse 1. And there's a verse says, when the seventh month came, the children of Israel were in their cities. Nehemiah 8 verse 1. Which is going to cover this day, the first day of the seventh month, the Feast of Trumpets. Now all the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in front of the water gate, and they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, the first five books, which the Eternal had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women and all who could hear with understanding. There was a certain age to be able to comprehend what was going on. Didn't need to have babies there because couldn't understand. On the first day of the seventh month, which is the Feast of Trumpets, the new moon. So there's a new moon. They know this is the Feast of Trumpets, the first day of the seventh month in God's sacred calendar. Then he read, talking about Ezra, read from it in the open square that was in front of the water gate from the morning until midday, before men and women and those who could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. Now this is like an announcement. The reading of God's word. It's an announcement to the people on the Feast of Trumpets. This is God's word. This is what God says we should be doing. This is what we should be living. So Ezra the scribe stood on a platform of wood, which they had made for the purpose. And beside him, at the right hand, on the right hand, stood, and I'm not going to go through those names, I'm not a good reader at the best of times, six. There were six, so Joshua made the seventh. And on the left-hand side, there were seven. So there's two groups of seven before the people. Verse 5, and Ezra opened the book in a sight of all the people, or in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above the people, because he's on this platform. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. So everybody stands up. Why? Out of respect for God, God's word, and to listen, to be more attentive to it. We do this very same thing. When we have a prayer, we stand. And what do? Well, we do what they do here. Verse 6. Ezra blessed the Eternal, the great God. Then, after he has done this, we don't know all the words that were spoken, they're not written here. Then all the people answered, Amen, Amen. So be it. We agree with that. Ezra has done that. While lifting up their hands, they bowed their heads and worshipped the Eternal with their faces to the ground. Well, we know when there's a prayer, there's an opening prayer for a sermon, or when there's a prayer, we stand and we bow our heads to the ground out of respect for God, because credit or glory is being given to God, the great God of the universe. Verse 7. I won't go through those 13 people that are there. And the Levites, there was 14 with Ezra, and the Levites helped the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. We understand this, that you can hear these things on a physical level. We can hear things on a spiritual level. This Feast of Trumpets being announced, it was physical, spiritual things, but physical understanding could only be comprehended. Well, God could still give greater understanding. And that greater understanding was they have sinned. They haven't been following God's law at all. That's what they would have heard. Ah, we're miles off the point here from all that we're hearing. And it's upsetting because we're not doing what God said. Well, we're the same, only on a spiritual level. We stand to hear God. We listen to God. We hear what God is saying. And the understanding is given, the explanation is given, but it's powered by God's Holy Spirit. That's the difference. The power of God's Holy Spirit can give us the understanding. Now, somebody without God's Holy Spirit cannot comprehend the spiritual component of what's being said. What we do this, what is happening here, here we are, on the Feast of Trumpets of 2018 on the Roman calendar. And now we have God's Holy Spirit that can give us the understanding. And everyone hears something slightly differently because of where we are in our spiritual growth, where God has taken us in development. Someone that's been around and heard a lot and is close to God will hear things slightly differently. Things will mean more. It's no different than when we talked about a monument that is set up by mankind. One person that has experienced certain things in life and possibly been to war would go past a war memorial and have different thinking, different emotions, different understanding, different everything about that monument than somebody like myself that's never been to war, and I drive past it, I have certain thoughts. Normally I look at it and think a memorial, and I think memorial, Feast of Trumpets. But you think differently. But I don't have the same impact in my thinking as what that person who had been to war has versus me who hasn't. Or a younger person of 17, 18 years of age that has understanding, but still would not comprehend what it really means. They only comprehend from what they've been told, not what they've experienced. And that's totally different. We're the same when it comes to the Feast of Trumpets. Each one of us will hear something slightly different from the announcement on this day. Verse 8. So they read distinctly from the book in the law of God, and they gave the sense, or they explained it, and helped them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra the priest and the scribe and the Levites, who taught the people, said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God." It's the day of trumpets. It's the Feast of Trumpets. This is a time of rejoicing. It's a feast of trumpets. It's a time to celebrate, not to mourn. "Do not mourn or weep." Now the people are all mourning and weeping because they've heard something physical and they realize we are not following God. We're nowhere near it, and they're getting upset with themselves, and they're upset that what they've done, which is a physical repentance, it's not a spiritual one. "For all the people wept when they heard the words of the Lord," which is that physical repentance. "Then he said to them, 'Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those of whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord." Holy to God. It's a separate day. It's a time to stop. Feast of Trumpets. "Do not sorrow." So we're not to sorrow on this day. This is a time of rejoicing. Well, we can rejoice on trumpets because we understand what it means. These are announcements. These are the time God announces things. Trumpets points to God and God announcing things. "Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Now, what is our strength? The joy of the Lord, or the rejoicing of the Lord. What is it? Truth for us? Truth. Truth is our strength. The 50th truth is our strength. It separates us, but we're strong because of it. And all of the understanding that's been given about the 50th truth since it was announced on trumpets of 2008 is incredible. 10 years of expanded knowledge that God has given to his people. So we are to rejoice on this Feast of Trumpets because of the truth that sets us free, makes us strong. It is our strength. It is our strength. We can put on the whole armor of God, and one of it is God's word, the truth. So we should be strong, and we should be battling against ourselves with the truth. So we believe something different than the world because God's given it to us. "For the joy of the eternal is your strength." Verse 11, "So the Levites quietened all the people, saying, 'Be still, for this day is holy. Do not be grieved.'" Now, we're not upset on this day. This is a day to rejoice before God. Verse 12, "And all the people went their way to eat and drink, to send portions, and rejoice greatly." Why? Because they understood the words that were declared to them. They knew about this. God's plan. We need to be keeping this holy day. We understand so much more on a spiritual level. How much more today, because we understand this, the spiritual announcements of God. Because it's all about something on a spiritual level. It's not physical. Psalm 81, verse 1. Psalm 81, verse 1. Sing aloud, which is rejoice, to the Eternal, our strength, because God in us is our strength. Without God in us, we're just human and we don't have anything. The truth and God's Spirit is what separates us from everything. God is our strength, because if God's living and dwelling in us, we can be strong because of God in us, not because of anything physical. We're not special physical. It's God in us that makes us special. Make a joyful shout to the God of Jacob. Raise a song and strike the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the lute. Verse 3. Blow the trumpet at the time of the new moon, first day of the seventh month. Blow it. It's a feast of trumpets. Make this announcement. Announcement that we have entered a holy day season. So from this point, the announcement is we are entering the seventh month of God's sacred calendar. This announcement is we're entering a holy day period that outlines a lot for us. From atonement, we understand what atonement is, a freedom is going to be given, the removal of deception from this world, the Feast of Tabernacles on the 15th day of the seventh month, a thousand-year period of rest from Satan's way and the changing or the transforming of people's minds and behaviours, those that have the opportunity to live into that period and are then born in that period. Then, on the 22nd day of the seventh month, the last great day, a time when mankind, those that have lived during the 6,000 years and that have died and will be resurrected to physical life, others will have died and be resurrected to spirit life in that thousand-year period. But at the end of the thousand years, we're going to see this resurrection. Well, what a rejoicing. What a rejoicing. What an incredible thing that's going to take place. So we've entered this holy day season. It also, we have entered a secular period, which is Day of Atonement, is about release, which is different today in today's world than it is or was for Israel. At the new moon, which is the 15th day of the seventh month, on your solemn feast day, Feast of Tabernacles, an appointed time. So they were to blow the trumpets at these times. So these were about announcements, and announcements to rejoice, which we've looked at, announcements to move mentally. There's lots of different times when the trumpet would sound. Trumpets are about our ability to hear spiritually, not physically, because we could turn around and say, yes, I was around, you were around, majority were around that are in God's church today, when the trumpet was sounded in 2008 on the Feast of Trumpets. There was no sound physical. No sound physical. But we heard something spiritual. So trumpets really is about the ability to hear spiritually, God's church today. Israel, it was physical things. Numbers. Told them what they had to do, how they had to do it. Blow this, sound that, do that. Well, we know this is all spiritual in nature. We don't get up on the Feast of Trumpets with a trumpet and blast something, because this is spiritual in nature. We're either hearing or we're not. God's Spirit will give us the ability. Without it, we can't. Verse 4. For this is a statute for Israel, a law of the God of Moses. So, the God of Jacob. This he established in Joseph for a testimony or a witness when he, talking about God, went throughout the land of Egypt where I heard a language and I did not understand. I removed his, this is God speaking, I removed his, Israel's shoulder from the burden. His hands were freed from the basket. Talking about bringing them out, Israel, out of physical captivity in Egypt. God removed my hand and your hand from the burden. It's called a calling. Captivity of the mind. Incredible things that we have that we understand. Verse 7. You, Israel, called in trouble, and I, God, delivered, because God's the only one who can. I, God, answered you in the secret place of thunder. I tested you at the waters of Meribah, which is the waters of strife. Shelah, which is think about it. Well, guess what? God tested his church about the announcement that was given on the Feast of Trumpets of 2008. It was a test. God tested us with truth. It's how we get tested. Hear, O my people, and I will admonish or change you or charge you. O Israel, if you listen to me, because this is what it's about, the church today, will we listen or won't we? In the book, will you listen? And if you will listen, I will listen. God's saying, God hasn't changed. He wants to give us salvation. He wants to give us something. And we, because of our nature, make a different choice often. Verse 9, there shall be no foreign god among you, nor shall you worship any foreign god. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. Now, people just read that and think it's all physical. It's all spiritual. It's all spiritual. We're not to put anything before God on a spiritual level. And God says, He is the eternal, one true God. Open your mouth. He's brought us out of captivity through a calling. Open your mouth, which is take in this physical food, take in this spiritual food, because it's spiritual in nature, spiritual food. Verse 11, but my people would not heed my voice, and Israel would have none of me. So I gave them over to their own stubborn heart, their mind, to walk in their own counsel. It's about what we choose, whether they're going to choose right or wrong. Verse 13, oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. Because God desires to bless us. God wants to give us something. And he says, oh, that my people, I've done this for them. You know, we are God's people. And God's, we can read this and say, God's saying, oh, my people, I wish they would listen to me. It's not wish, the wrong word. Oh, that my people would listen to me, listen to the truth, believe the truth, that Israel would walk in my ways, that they would make a choice to follow me, to stay close to me. That's what God desires, to choose that, because God wants to give. Verse 14, I should soon subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their adversaries. Well, what God is saying there is, God wants to protect us. God wants to be there for us. God wants to give us things. And God is saying, well, that's what he desires. And he wants to protect, but they've made a different choice. They won't listen. They won't walk in his ways. Therefore, he will not subdue their enemies. And anyone that's against them, God will just let it happen, because they're not turning to God. We're the same. We need to turn to God so that our adversary, Satan, has no effect on us. He can't hurt us, can't harm us if we stay close to God. The haters of the Eternal would pretend submission to him, but their fate would endure forever. The haters of the Eternal would pretend. They're not in the temple, they're in the courtyard. They're pretending to be God's people, pretending to be following God's ways, pretending to keep the Feast of Trumpets, pretending, acting. Well, God says, but their fate. Well, what's the outcome? What's the outcome of a pretender, a hypocrite? What's the outcome? Death, unless it's repented. Death. But their fate, death, would endure forever. It's not going to change. God is not going to change the wages of sin. The wages of sin is death, unless we repent. So God says he's not going to change. And anyone that's pretending to be spiritual, pretending to be spiritually minded, pretending to have God's Holy Spirit, because people do pretend things, that if they do that, the outcome is the same. It's set. It's set for them. Their fate is set. It's not going to change. So we should take this to heart and be repentant, because we're not pretending. We're genuine and sincere about our calling. He would have fed them also with the finest wheat, with honey from the rock, I would have satisfied you. We're going to turn to Revelation 8, and we're just going to refer to Revelation 8. Revelation 8, verse 1. We know that the first four trumpets, at the point of me giving this sermon, are being held back. They're being held back. And the reason they are being held back is because God is working to seal God is working to a point where he needs to come to a point where he says, now I know you. And then the seal of God, which means the mind is set. The mind is set for God. And when that is complete, where the rest of the 144,000, those that are being worked with at this point, come to that point, then the four angels with the four trumpets will be released. Revelation 8 is symbolic language. And there's things in here which we have been given by God that we understand. And I'm sure as things move forward, there's other things that we will have a greater understanding of. We'll go, as we see things happen, because we need to experience some of this to fully grasp what it's talking about. And even then, there's things that God is doing in spirit ways, in spirit realm and spirit things that we don't understand. We do not see. We don't fully understand all the things that are going on. The seven trumpets of God announce what will happen before his son stands on the Mount of Olives. We know it's symbolic language. Verse 1, when he, Christ, opened the seventh seal, which has happened on the 14th of November 2008. We've lived it, but we didn't see Christ open a seal. We believe it because God's given us his spirit to believe, to see, to understand. There was silence in heaven for about half an hour. We understand that that is 30 days because it takes you to the 14th of December 2008, 30 days later, from the 14th of November to the 14th of December, 30 days, and then you see the outcome, which is the blowing of the trumpets. The blowing of the trumpets, which means it's an announcement that destruction is coming. And then you can go through, we'll look at verse 2, it says, and I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Verse 6, so the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. And we understand the trumpets, and this book that's covered aspects of that. I want to drop down to the fifth trumpet, which is in Revelation 9 verse 1. Revelation 9 verse 1. Because we understand that the first four trumpets, when they happen, there's going to be great destruction. And there will be a lot of death in that as well. Well, we look to that, not for physical destruction, but we look to it because it's a countdown to the return of Joshua the Messiah. That's what we look for. We look for a change. We want this over and done with. Well, let's look at Revelation 9 verse 1. Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven to the earth, and to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. Now, symbolic language is talking about an angel coming down and releasing, giving it, there's an authority that's given. Now we understand Satan and the demons have authority and they have a lot of power, but that power is being reduced. Well, here God is going to give them a power to do something that they would like to do, but they have to wait because it's about God and what God is going to do. I have set before you today. I've done this. I've given it to you. Well, this is the same. Satan does things, but certain things he can't do because he hasn't got the permission or authority to do it. He opened the bottomless pit and smoke arose from the pit like the smoke of a great furnace, so that the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke. Verse 4, drop down. They were commanded not to hurt or harm the grass of the earth, any green thing, any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. All the more reason, it's not just talking about the 144,000 that are remaining alive, most of them are dead, but those that are alive, it's not talking about that, it's talking about we have a seal. We've got a down payment of God's Holy Spirit in us. Therefore, there's a protection that's given because of God. It's in God's power. So here we see evil angels that for a period of time will go out and they will pull together a united Europe, as we understand, 10 nations that give their power at a point in time for a short time. They regret it, but then war really breaks out. War breaks out. Well, we understand that. Most other people won't understand it when you read other symbolic languages like the shape of a locust or the horsemen were prepared for battle. Shape of a locust. It's symbolic in language. It's pointing to something. Verse 11, Revelation 9, verse 7. The reason we're covering this is because it's about trumpets, it's about announcements. So there's going to come a time when the fifth trumpet blasts, we will know, we will see, we'll know that there's been a sound and we will see it. There's an announcement. Ah, it's happening. We're at this point in time. Verse 11. And they had a king over them, the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew is Abaddon. But in the Greek, he has a name Apollyon, which is Satan. So they have a king because Satan has been given authority. Remember, he's called the God of this world, but he was actually placed over and given authority over the angels on this earth. That's what was given to him. Well, he rebelled. Well, we understand that this time he's going to be released and he's going to have great influence in ways that we just don't fully comprehend or understand. Verse 12, one woe is past, but behold, still two more woes are coming after these things. We understand the sixth trumpet is about the uniting of Russia and China together in the effect of a massive war and great destruction. We'll start to wind down. If you go to verse 18, Revelation 9, verse 18. By these three plagues, because of what is taking place about destruction and nuclear weapons being used, by these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed by the fire, the smoke, and the brimstone which came out of their mouths, which is talking about destruction, nuclear. They're going to say certain things and give instructions. Let's do it. You know, turn the key. All those types of things. Well, it's going to happen. A third of mankind is going to be destroyed because of what Europe and then Russia and China joined together in a massive war that's going to take place against Europe. It's going to be horrendous destruction that we just don't comprehend. But a third of mankind is going to be destroyed. Verse 20 is interesting. But the rest of mankind who were not killed by the plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons, which is what is happening now, everyone does, except God's true church, and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which they can neither see nor hear nor walk. Verse 21. And they did not repent of their murderers, of their sorceries, and their sexual immorality, or their thefts. It's the way of Babylon. It's just the way that people are. It's what they live. Well, when things start to happen, people hold on to what they know. When you look at all the different cultures, everyone's going to hang on to what they think is right and wrong. We'll start to conclude. This is Revelation 11, verse 15. Revelation 11, verse 15. This is the seventh trumpet, which is this about an announcement, because it's a wonderful thing that's going to take place. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there was loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ. It's about God and what God is going to do through Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. God will reign through Christ. And there's no more sin as it open rebellion that's going to take place. No, there's going to be a government there. There will be rebellions, but they're going to be dealt with. They're not going to be just let go for a long period of time. Things will happen swiftly. And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell down on their faces and worshipped God. Look at that. There's 24 spirit beings that are before God's throne. God created them. And now we don't understand all those things. We don't understand spirit, really. We have concepts of spirit. We don't fully grasp what spirit is and how spirit operates and its power. Well, here we have 24. Well, we understand God does not need an advisory council. You know, God is God. God's God. He's almighty. They're not. But there's a reason that God has given these beings an opportunity to be there. And we don't understand all the capacity of how God allows them to help or support or whatever. But it is about mankind. They're there for the purpose of mankind, God's family. That's what they're there for. Well, here, they fell down on their faces and worshipped God. Well, why wouldn't you? If you fully understand you are created and that God is almighty, and if you are in his presence and you see it, Well, you would worship God because you only exist because God allows it. We forget. We think we have, you know, we have life, so to speak, but we don't. We're temporary. We only have life because God's given it to us. Verse 17 saying, "We give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned." Yeah, because God is almighty and is all powerful, and he's only allowing these things for the purpose of a family. So it's all going to happen because God has a plan of salvation for mankind. Verse 18, "The nations were angry and your wrath has come, and the time of the dead that they should be judged," which is referring to the 144,000, that now there's the reward from that judgment. They're being judged over a period of time. They've been set. Now it's there. "And that you should reward your servants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, and should destroy those who are destroying the earth." There's a consequence for thoughts and actions. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. This is referring to the seventh trump and the resurrection that will take place. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. "Now I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption." Now we're flesh and blood and we're incorruption. Well, if we're left to ourselves, we can never enter spirit life. What is being said here by Paul is that, well, he's saying this too, that as we are normal, we're not going to have spirit. We can't have spirit life because we're in corruption. "Behold, I tell you a mystery," because this is about a mystery of God. Other people don't believe this. Other people don't know it. Other people haven't been given this mystery. We've been given it, a mystery of God that we have. We possess it. "We shall not all sleep." So not just die and that's it. "But we shall be changed," because we have to be putting on incorruption, not corruption, which we are. We are in a state of corruption, but we need to put on incorruption because we can't die. You know, we're not corrupt. Our minds, which is the more important thing, the mind can't be corrupted because it's of God now. When will this happen? "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed." We'll all be changed. "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible," because we're now in a state of corruption, physical, mortal, dying. Well, the mind's the same. It's got no life in and of itself. When it's over, it's over. But with God's Spirit, it can be different. We can be raised now in a state of Elohim, to be spirit. "At the last trump, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." We will be changed. "For this corruptible," which is what we are, we're in corruption, "must put on incorruption." In other words, we've got to be raised incorruptible. Can't be corrupted anymore, because we can as physical human beings. "And this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality," change to spirit, "then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." Verse 55. "O death, where is your sting?" Where's your power now? It can't hold you in the grave anymore because of God. "O grave, where is your victory?" There's no victory. You know, death is death. You're dead. That's it. Well, there's a victory in death. But because of God and his great mercy and his plan of salvation, there's a victory that can be given. Who can give the victory? Man can't give himself victory. Only God. Only God has the power to give life and death. It's God's authority, God's power. "The sting of death is sin." Well, sin has to be gotten rid of so there's no more death. Once you get rid of sin, there's no death. And once you get rid of death, there's no more sin, because everyone is spirit in Elohim. The strength of sin is the law. Now, we have a law because we're physical carnal beings. But once a person's in Elohim, there is no need for law because they only think good. They think like God. Verse 57. But thanks be to God which gives us the victory through our Lord Joshua the Christ. Therefore, which is a great encouragement here, because we know this mystery, we understand about God's annual holy days through the sacred calendar. We understand they're about a plan of salvation for mankind. We understand these things. Therefore, we should rejoice in this, knowing this, because it hasn't been given to others. We understand the mysteries of God. People don't. Still in darkness because they haven't been called to it. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast. Let's hold fast. Remember I mentioned about the koala and a tree. You know, it's bang, bang, and hold fast, and the tree goes. That's what we need to do. Hold fast, brethren. Be steadfast. Unmovable. No one's going to move us away from the truth, because this is what this is really talking about. Truth. The truth is there's going to be a resurrection to spirit life at the return of Joshua the Messiah. It's a truth, it's fact, it will happen. God is going to achieve it. Well, we shouldn't be moved by it, by all these other things of the world. Just hold fast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, inasmuch as you know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord. Now, this working that we have to do is about the mind. We have to work. We have to choose good by the power of God's Holy Spirit. Choose good. We have to work and war against ourselves. That's what we've been called to do. Well, this Feast of Trumpets of 2018 is a special feast because it's 10 years since the giving of the 50th truth. And trumpets are about announcements, and the 50th truth is about an announcement for release for us. Release from this bondage of our mind, a captivity, released from error. So this is a great feast that we should now rejoice. This is a feast about announcing a future. Atonement is not far off. The Feast of Tabernacles is not far off. The Last Great Day is not far off. They're not far off on a physical level for us physically today in this year in the Roman calendar, but they're not far off for all of mankind. God has said it. God will do it. God is going to give his kingdom to mankind to be governed over. There's a new millennial period. The kingdom of God will be established, a spiritual kingdom of God. The good news of the gospel of the kingdom of God. The good news about a spirit rulership with Christ and 144,000. And then these things we can say, rejoice. Let's rejoice on this Feast of Trumpets.